Welcome to a special reporter catch-up edition of the LA Local for Wednesday, July 16th, 2025. It's brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm your host, Jonathan Service. We haven't done one of these in a while on the Local, so I'm going to dive right into it. A reporter's notebook, this time with our man in City Hall, Craig Figner. We focused on Mayor Karen Bass and her not-so-cordial relations with the President of the United States, who continues to make Los Angeles and California on a whole his targets for all kinds of less than desirable special treatment. I started out with Craig by going way back to January, shortly after the fires in Altadena and Pacific Palisades, when President Trump made an inauspicious trip to the fire zones and had one hell of a meeting with the mayor. Let me take it back to the fires in January and the recent conviction with which Bass has spoken reminded me a lot about the Trump, now notorious Trump, press conference at Pacific Palisades in a high school gymnasium, I believe, when Karen Bass sat there with obviously handpicked panelists who were all pretty hardcore Trump supporters, just railed against her.
It's not a moment where they had evidence of great love for one another.
Absolutely not. And frankly, seemed like a bit of a setup job by the Trump people. And the mayor kind of walked in with her guard down, and boy, did she eat a whole bunch of criticism from the president on down. So fast forward to the beginning of the ICE raids, like you said, the beginning of June, and the whole attitude, and part of this is coming out of criticism around Bass generally, not just from the president, but plenty of Angelenos as well, about how fire response was handled. And it just seems like it has been a much different tone from the mayor. So kind of take it from that, since now we have a couple of at least mild victories for their efforts to A, kick as many or all of the National Guard troops and Marines out of LA, and B, slow down the ICE raids. Where are we?
Well,
now?
Certainly after the fires, the mayor was on defense, and rightfully so, for so many reasons. You know, you had people grieving outright the loss of their homes, their lives, their livelihood in the Pacific Palisades. And I'm going to mention that specifically here and focus on it because that's in the city of Los Angeles. And, you know, Karen Bass is the mayor of Los Angeles. So, yes, that was a terrible moment for her. And she was in West Africa when the fire happened and claimed not to know this devastating windstorm was coming. So there was very little for her to do except to, as she said later, let the chaos of the moment, which was a long one, pass before she made any decisions, which among them was firing the chief of the Los Angeles City Fire Department. So she was damaged politically in a very big way after that. And then came these ICE raids from the Trump administration, which totally, not, I don't think it made people forget about the fires, but it forced them to refocus on a new threat in Los Angeles. And you saw a different kind of mayor stand up and speak out against what was happening.
Yeah, she seemed to sense that opportunity to finally assert themselves, herself and the administration in general here. I mean, and so which leads us right into the court cases and even communication between the White House and LA City Hall, because under a normal administration, even somebody at a president and an administration determined to carry out these kind of aggressive ICE raids, you would think, since there is such a combustible and volatile mix of National Guard troops, Marines, angry protesters, immigrants fleeing for their what they believe is their very lives.
And also keep in mind, we had never before, at least in my career, seen people with their faces masked,
right,
refusing to identify themselves, dropping into a major American city, mm-hmm, hauling people away in vans without reason and without any pretense or a warrant or after action report on who they've detained and why. It was truly bizarre.
So, I mean, given the unprecedented nature of all this, you would think that, again, any normal administration, with the very least, as a courtesy, because, of course, we all are Americans here, right? You know, we want to do some kind of coordination so that really dangerous scenarios don't play out on the streets. And from your reporting, That coordination seems to be totally non-existent at this point.
Yeah. And what they call it is blue on blue. So usually when there's some sort of law enforcement action that's going to happen in one jurisdiction, another city comes into Los Angeles, they're going to serve a search warrant. Well, they'll notify LAPD so that when they do get calls on this or they dispatch officers to it, they don't get into a situation where they think a crime is happening. They'll know that there's some sort of law enforcement action and it won't result in a blue on blue attack or shooting. Now, with ICE, this did not happen. The city was not receiving, LAPD was not receiving notice of these ICE immigration raids, if you will. And so they were just kind of popping up and they were making people fearful because it seemed like the city really had no way to prevent them and no way to deal with them as they were happening. In fact, they frightened some people so much that they thought they were kidnappings and called 911 to report them as such. So when there were then nighttime riots and protests that became violent, that's when President Trump and the administration saw an opening to bring in the federalized National Guard and also Marines from 29 Palms. That is a top military training base for war games. It is like one of the elite when it comes to the military and the Marines and training for combat in foreign countries. When they were brought here, that was stunning and shocking to people in Los Angeles, and it brought the temperature up substantially. So then when came news that they were going to let I think about 2,000 of these federalized National Guard troops go home or leave yesterday. Well, the mayor took that as a victory lap. I believe the Marines are still there, but here, I've condensed it. Here's kind of the victory lap she took yesterday.
The administration has finally understood that they need to withdraw the troops. Let me say that this is what happens when the city stands strong, because we have been united. When people peacefully protest, when people raise the concerns about having National Guard in a situation where they were, as far as I'm concerned, used as props, I am hoping that this is the beginning of a complete withdrawal of all National Guard troops and of all Marines. Our soldiers are trained to fight to kill foreign enemies in foreign lands. There was never a need for them here before, and there isn't a need for them now.
Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass yesterday. So you fast forward to today, and I had a chance to spend some time with her. And Jonathan, one of the questions I asked was, well, we've still got a couple thousand, roughly, National Guard federalized, National Guard troops here. I don't believe any of the 29 Palms Marines have been relieved and redeployed to another location. So I believe they're still in downtown Los Angeles guarding the perimeter of these federal buildings. So, well, Department of Defense, I guess, makes the call on this, but they certainly answer to President Trump. I wanted to know if Mayor Bass, who has great skills in working the levers of federal government, I asked her, have you reached out to the president? Have you tried to make contact and resolve this remaining troop deployment in Los Angeles?
And do you think you'll be able to get a word in edgewise with the president to pull out these remaining troops?
Well, I hope so, especially the National Guard, because as I always say, these are young women and men who leave their jobs, they leave their education, and they leave their families for an assignment. They're not full-time military, and for them to be used as props in the manner in which they have, number one, I think is egregious. They were never needed to begin with, and so I hope they've gone back to their lives, and I hope that the remaining ones will be able to go back to their lives.
Lastly, have you tried to reach out to the president? I don't know how that happens.
Well, I have submitted a request, but I need to submit another request, and I plan to do that soon.
Is that something that's done in writing?
Yes, absolutely. It's done in writing. It's oral as well.
Is it like, hey, Mr. President, I'd really like to talk to
you? No, you have to formally submit a request, which I did.
How long does it take to get back? I'd like to get an answer.
Well, who knows? I'm still waiting.
Hey, Jonathan, I got a question. Have you ever written a letter to the White House, to the President of the United States, ever in your life?
I have not, no.
You really?
Oh, no.
See, I have written a letter to every president since I was a high schooler. It's just something I've done.
Oh, you're such a nerd, Craig. I love it.
I'm such a nerd. And, you know, usually you get a response in, you know, about 2 or 3 weeks. It's not a personal letter. I did get a personal letter once from Senator Alan Cranston. Story for another time. But yeah, you do get a response. So I found it rather stunning that the mayor of the nation's second largest city, it almost sounds like she's being snubbed by the White House, having to reach out now a second time to try and make contact with the president to try and resolve this issue that, well, at least for her, it's an issue. Maybe for Trump, it's not an issue. Maybe it's something he's relishing in. I mean, I don't want to say that he is for sure, but...
You
would want to call her back more quickly.
To that end, in the talks you've had with both the mayor, but even some members of city council, some members of the mayor's staff, is there any thought that there are any open avenues for constructive talks, cooperation with Trump? Or, I mean, are they a sense that they're almost under siege from their own federal government?
Well, as far as the city goes, I think what has been learned here or exposed certainly is the fact that the sanctuary city policies that exist in Los Angeles, well, they're there and they look good on paper, but they don't really carry much weight for people who were counting on them for protection from the federal government in the event of a circumstance just like this. They do prevent information sharing between, say, LAPD and federal agencies and agents themselves, but it kind of stops there. I think people expected that there would be more protection afforded them if they're undocumented immigrants. This sanctuary city policy that's both for the city and for the state of California.
Stay tuned to KNX and The Local. Craig tomorrow is talking with LA City Attorney Heidi Feldstein Soto. You'll hear that right here and on 97.1 FM. This has been the LA Local for Wednesday, July 16th, sponsored by the LA Car Guy of Family Dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 12 dealerships at lacarguy.com. Hope y'all are doing well. See you tomorrow.